Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandy Love Stankovic, discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome to the Strategic Hotbox. It is 2017. Are you ready to rock? Now is the time here at the podcast to make things happen. Thank you for joining us. And now you've been joining us over a couple years, right? I mean, I feel like we can say that together. Welcome. Let's go ahead and get started. Today's episode is about unleashing your inner nerd. So as always, I like to frame the topic and today unleashing your inner nerd and framing that discussion. We have an amazing guest speaker that will bring in to talk to us about this. His name is Jeremy Zarowitz, and I'll introduce him a little bit more formally here in a second. But unleashing your inner nerd, it's a perfect timing for this being at the beginning of January 2017. Can you believe it? What even happened in 2016? Years and times go by so fast. It's definitely not a cliche. But when it comes to the Strategic Hotbox, we use this as an opportunity to have real authentic discussions about challenges that are facing leaders and really making learning as accessible and cool as possible. This is real. This is legit stuff that I face when I'm working in businesses, but also things that you face from a personal leadership standpoint. You don't have to be managing people or actually leading different people in order to pull tools from the things that we offer here at the Strategic Hotbox. And as always, we break it into three segments. The first is a learn segment. It's a leadership challenge. Today, it's about being informed and being the best that you can be. And then we have the love section. And that's about connections and relationships. And that's when we'll bring in Jeremy to talk to him about his experience. And then finally, we've got the kick ass section. It's time to make things happen. It's time to energize for the year. So let's rock and roll. So why would I talk about unleashing your inner nerd when we're young? Now, if we're lucky, depending on where you are in the world, in the globe, if we're lucky, when we're younger, our life revolves around learning and it revolves around school, right? As kids, we learn and we grow and we develop. It's the center of everything. It's the center of everything that we do. And again, if you've had that opportunity to do that, especially in the United States, we're required to, in a sense, you know, from kindergarten through high school to go through and learn some of these fundamental skills. And so as such, you just become this being that's used to accepting and growing and learning different information. And then we get into adulthood and we're like, phew, thank goodness that's over, right? And then we just never kind of go after learning in the exact same way. And so I think that our brain actually doesn't accept information. That's not scientific in the slightest, but this idea doesn't accept it in the same way. And so I even see it from a different and a higher level too. When I finished my MBA, my master's, as soon as I got done, I'm like, oh man, I am never doing that again, right? It was like one of the hardest challenges I've ever done. And then I get done and I'm thinking, well, I can't, that's not who I am. And of course went on 10 years later or so and got my doctorate or whatever. But it's this idea that you have to continue to go after it. You want to have learning be an ongoing journey. This lifelong learning cliche concept really has value in the fact that you want to make your own continuing education. I love those professions that have those requirements of continuing education, right? So whether you're a lawyer or CPA, et cetera, and you have licenses that may require that. And most of the time people approach those classes as this have to do thing, eye roll, right? Of having to go back to school or having to finish or fulfill some requirement, as opposed to an opportunity to stay relevant, about staying on top of your game, being the best that you can be today, as well as the future and the year after that and the year after that. If you think away the impact that things like technology have on our lives and our business and our leadership, or the way that your role has shifted, I know that you may have heard this, but that quote that the kids that are in kindergarten today are going to work in positions that have not even been created yet. That kids that are in kindergarten today, so my little dudes, my beefcakes that you've seen in the videos and podcasts, they're going to work in jobs that aren't even thought of yet, right? And if you think about that, even the jobs that you have, for those of you that are tenured at your positions, how much has changed and shifted in that area? And one of the things that we'll talk about with our subject matter expert today, he's in energy, how much that's shifting and the way that that's going to change over the next several years, right? And so some organizations come in and they revolutionize. You may have heard this quote, but Bill Gates is famous for saying, if your culture doesn't like geeks, then you're in real trouble, right? It's this idea that if you made fun of nerds when you're younger, you're probably going to work for one when you get older. But I also think that being nerdy or unleashing your inner nerd is really powerful because we've talked about all sorts of things that impact drive and going after and whatever, but it's about just moving forward and getting up and trying it again and just trying and trying and trying again. Now, I may have used this example with you before, but it's the idea of think about like a kid. How many of you that are listening or watching have children, right? Young children, or maybe you're around young children, or maybe you were a child once, right? And so you learn different things and like you're learning to walk or you're learning to whatever. The second that a child learns how to do something, it's like the best day of a parent's life, right? You're like, oh my gosh, he said mama, or oh my goodness, he walked, or whatever. And think about that moment when your child stands up and kind of like is all over the place and takes two steps, and maybe they're sideways and they look like a zombie, right, when they're doing it. But they walk those first two steps, and it's the best day of our lives, of their lives, whatever. And you give them so much positive reinforcement, like, yes, little person, yes, get back up and try it again. And imagine if that same situation had happened and the child takes a couple of zombie steps and falls on their butt, and you're like, welp, they never looked like much of a walker. Right? I mean, think about that, right? Like we just give up on people because they make a mistake. No way. When a kid is young and they make a mistake or they don't do things as well, you like, get back up, try again. And why aren't we doing that as adults? Why aren't we doing that as adults? We can't just give up and just think, I've hit my peak. I've run my course. I've learned everything I need to learn. I've been there, done that. Right. I've been around the block. I know. Oh, I know. Just wait. Just wait until you're my age. I know. Like all these kind of things that these cliches that we say or we hear ourselves saying, the stories that we tell ourselves that just get in the way from us being better. And I know that you, and I don't have any official kind of scientific information here about the brain because we were talking about that before, but the idea of Alzheimer's and dementia and some of these other degenerative diseases that impact people and trying to prevent some of that by learning new things, getting new synapses happening in the brains, new exciting things occurring, using the other hand when you brush your teeth or whatever. And I'm sure that my hand gestures aren't the most appropriate hand gestures for that type of situation, but you get my point in the idea of using something, using the other parts of your body and try to change things up and learn something new every day. The second piece in this before we get into talking to Jeremy is resisting the urge to be cool. So often as we get older and we kind of are adulting, right, we get cool. We're just cool. And so, people are on the dance floor. No, I don't want to go on the dance floor and just make a fool out of myself or whatever. Or I need to be drinking to dance or any of those kind of things because we're too cool, right? And that just drives me crazy. Think about all those opportunities where coolness has gotten in your way. Why not do something? So I know I've shared with you before about walking in and my little dude was dancing to Led Zeppelin and like going on this total like dance, thing. And if you haven't heard this before, I walk into the house and Andrew, my youngest, who's four now, it was dancing. Like I think Led Zeppelin was on Going to California and he's just shaking his hips and moving his hands and really getting into it. And I walk in and then he kind of like sees me. All right, there's the jam. Yes. And he sees me and he flips around and I go, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm having a dance party. And I'm like, what? Well, of course you are, right? Of course you are. And I thought to myself, like, why wouldn't you have a dance party? Why wouldn't we? And I was thought to myself in that moment, we get so tied up in trying to be cool or trying to be something else that we don't unleash this nerdy side of us of just have dance parties or go after it. Do whatever you got to do to just live and be in that moment. So it's New Year's Eve, and this is our New Year's episode. And so I challenge, how many of you have set resolutions? And some people roll their eyes, oh, resolutions are that thing where I say I should lose 10 pounds every year, and it's been the same 10 pounds every, now it's 20 pounds because I didn't do it last year or whatever. I think that is such baloney. It's like almost like making it okay to be mediocre, or making it okay to be inept, right? It's this idea, resolutions are awesome, and I love them. The powerful thing that I like about them is it creates a little bit of accountability. It's also something that I reference back. So every year and at the end of last year, we look back at the list and say, okay, what have we accomplished? What didn't we accomplish? What do we want to tweak? We also visit it halfway through the year. And I will make resolutions about all aspects of life. So there'll be business things in there about what do I want to achieve or what do I want to make or whatever, savings that I want to create, people that I want to reach, lives that I want to impact. And then there'll be that I want to go to a few rock concerts, and then I want to go camping, and I want to hike this year. I want to, play more pool billiards. I want to, whatever, go see some Vegas shows or enjoy the city that we have here, travel, go to different countries. They'll all be a part of my resolution. So it becomes like a mini bucket list in a sense. And that way I'm going after these things, accomplish these things as life is going by, because everybody that's listening or watching here today can relate to the fact that time just goes by. So what I want to leave you with your resolutions is that to be curious, to add something in your resolutions that is about being as curious as you possibly can, about reading, about getting in touch, about staying informed, about being curious, about learning, and having that drive and hunger to be as curious as you possibly can. And so one person that I know happens to be one of the smartest people, I think, that's even in my toolbox or in my realm, or just a person that I've been very fortunate to know. And his name is Jeremy Zarowitz. He is the vice president of supply currently at Gritty Energy, which is based out of Los Angeles. It's a technology startup in the energy space, and they're actually using technology to wholesale energy, kind of like the Costco of electricity. He's been in the energy field for 14 years, a trader for 10. He went to the University of Arizona in chemical engineering, although loves to laugh and say that he has not worked a day, is a chemical engineer. But he is a pretty amazing individual, and we're going to learn a little bit more about him. So please join me in welcoming Jeremy Zarowitz. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Brandy. How are you doing?
Good. Did I introduce you well? Did I kind of set the stage for your awesome nerdiness?
You did. That was very flattering. Although the fact that you named the episode Unleash Your Inner Nerd and thought of me, I'm not quite sure how to take that. But
we can be nerdy together, right? We can just have like a little nerd party. So tell us a little overview of your experience in business and leadership.
Okay. Well, so as you mentioned, I've been in energy pretty much my entire career, a lot of trading and trading related roles. My current company, which I'm really excited about, I just joined back in the summer. And as you said, they're using technology to wholesale electricity, which maybe doesn't sound very revolutionary because, Costco's
never
been
happened.
Doing that for years. This has never happened before. And the reason is because the electricity market is so complex, prices are changing literally every second, and generation and demand has to be constantly balanced. It's just been impossible to actually do a wholesale product for electricity. So what we've done, utilities, and then there's a lot of states that are deregulated where they don't have utilities. They have companies that compete to sell you electricity over the utilities wires, but they all kind of use the same business model, and they have traders that try to balance these positions. They have to have a risk group to watch the traders. They have to have a compliance group to watch the traders and risk, and they have to have a lot of credit, which is really expensive. So our model eliminates the need for all that and makes it a really pure wholesale product and just a flat daily fee of 49 cents. And it eliminates all that overhead and makes it really simple and easy for the user.
Well, that's great. And so how have you stayed relevant then in the energy field because of the fact that it's shifting and there's regulatory impacts, right? So how have you stayed relevant? What sources of knowledge do you tap into?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously you have to read all of the trade publications, and there's a lot in energy and I'm sure in every industry. So you have to stay up to date with that stuff. But that just sort of gets you on the same level playing field as everyone else. You mentioned earlier using connections and relationships, and that's really huge because so much of what you learn about the business and what's going on currently is just from talking to people and maintaining those relationships.
Yeah.
in energy, a lot of trading is done over instant message, which
really
is surprising. Yeah, it's everyone has still has AOL Instant Messenger.
AOL even?
Yeah, as you can imagine, every trade shop has everyone has an AOL account.
No way.
And, yeah, a lot
is yours like JDog75 or something? No.
Are you the one that's been IMing me?
Yeah,
75, 78, please.
78, right.
So, but yeah, just staying, you know, keeping your network, I guess maintaining your network and staying in touch with people really helps you stay abreast of what's going on in your business.
Sure. And I love that you brought up reading, because I think it's such a lost art in so much of this unleashing your inner nerd, and this fact that we don't, when everything's tweet or bite-sized, we just don't read the way that we used to. And it's a powerful tool.
Yeah, it's essential. You have to, you know, it's really probably at least an hour or two a day of just going through all the different, there's so much information out there, just going through the websites and different publications. Yeah, it's really essential.
Yeah. So you were recently a contestant on Jeopardy. Yes. How was that experience? How did you prepare for that?
To prepare, I studied everything I could think of that could potentially
books?
Come up. Not that I found. I just, you know, I know they have a lot of questions about presidents and British monarchs and geography and classical music. So I just, you know, I memorized every British monarch since William the Conqueror in 1066.
Well,
I memorized
of course you did.
President.
How did you not already know that? I mean,
just everything you know that I thought
wow.
could. Of all these things, there was exactly one question that came up that I had learned through my studying.
No, really?
Yeah. All that time wasted. So now my head is full of even more useless trivia.
I know, it's like 80s, you know, like pop music lyrics. It's like, what are you going to do with the British monarchs, the line of British monarchs, right?
Exactly.
Well, we actually have a clip. Let's check you out in action.
This is Jeopardy. From Hope Park, California, Jeremy Zarowitz.
1600
Dome.
Ooh, Daily Devil, look at you.
Okay. Here's the clue. A shell structure with a frame of tubing connected into hexagons, pentagons, and triangles is this type of
wait,
dome.
What? Wait, well, hold up. Pause that for a second. What? I mean, how do you even prepare for questions like that, Jeremy? Come on. Like, was that part of your journey?
No, I already knew that. Now I'm starting to understand.
You already knew that. wait. So let's play the rest of it. Did you get it right then? Hold on.
What is geodesic? That is correct.
Oh my gosh. To me, that like, I'm not sure if you can see over Skype here the amount of eye rolling I'm giving you in this. Like, how does geodesic part of your repertoire?
There's so much random stuff just stuck up in my head. Again, like useless in any other scenario except for on Jeopardy.
Except for your daily double on Jeopardy, right? And then you give me shit at the beginning of this that I thought of you unleashing your inner nerd. I mean, come on.
I get it.
Do you think it's cool to be nerdy?
I don't know if cool is the right word. Mm-hmm. I think it's very useful, especially if, you know, anything you want to be successful at, you have to really just completely immerse yourself in it.
I feel I like that.
You have to just, you know, learn and know everything you possibly can about whatever business you're in or whatever, anything that you want to achieve. And I think in that sense, you know, being nerdy will help you be effective and help you be successful. And if you get really, really, really successful, like, you know, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, then you can become cool.
Ah, I see. So it's that level that, yeah, but you're right though. It's not always necessarily cool, and it should be, because of the fact that I love your term immerse, because that's where you really have to go into that place of being in it, like really in it to win it. What do you love about your inner geek?
Well,
do you embrace it?
Yeah. Again, just, you know, trying to immerse myself in it, but I'm actually going to change direction, because I don't know if you remember this, but when you asked me to be on your podcast, you said we could talk about anything, and you said business or Jeopardy or Lynyrd Skynyrd, which is a band that you and
yes,
I both love.
Yes, that we've seen together, yes.
Yeah, several times. So I'm just going to hijack the conversation now and talk about
okay,
Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Okay, please.
You probably didn't think I was going to pick up on that band. Because, I mean, obviously, they're one of the greatest bands ever. And Oh, there you go.
Yeah, playing a little Sweet Home Alabama.
Turn it up.
So tell me about Leonard. What were you going to say?
It's pretty loud. Can you turn the sound off?
Yep, go for it.
Okay. So one of my favorite songs of theirs is, there you go. One of my favorite songs of theirs is called The Ballad of Curtis Lowe.
Yes.
It's one of their lesser known songs, but it's a really cool song about the lead singer, Ronnie Van Zant, as a 10-year-old kid in Jacksonville, Florida, you know, the Deep South in the 50s. And he becomes friends with this 60-year-old black guy because he's a great blues guitarist. And he would go, you know, collect cans to give, to sell them, to get money, to give the guy money to buy wine. And, you know, he had this really unlikely friendship. And everyone in town told this kid that this guy is useless, stay away from him. His mom would get, you know, get him in trouble when he went and saw him. But he kept hanging out with him. And the guy inspired Ronnie Van Zant to
write
be
the
this
song.
Great musician.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a really sweet song and it's a really cool story. And I love that. But I really love the fact that this guy, Curtis Lowe, would have probably just lived and died kind of more or less anonymously. And, you know, a generation or two after he died, nobody would even know
Never.
He existed.
Right.
Except for the fact that he was friends with this 10-year-old kid who grew up to be the lead singer of the greatest Southern rock band ever.
Yes.
There you go. So now the name Curtis Lowe is going to live on forever. And I always thought that was really cool. And so in advance of this podcast, I did a little research to find out some more about the song.
Uh-huh.
And guess what I found out?
What?
There is no Curtis Lowe.
Like he made him up.
He made him up.
No
he was
way.
An amalgamation of several people that he knew, but the name Curtis Lowe, there
was
just, no Curtis
Lowe. It was fictional.
Lowe.
Oh no, did that break your heart?
It broke my heart. I was so happy for this guy, Curtis Lowe.
Right, here he's immortalized, right?
Yeah, my kids will know his name, my grandkids will know his name, and he
and it's bullshit. It's complete. Oh my gosh, wow. And also I love that you're even telling the story about going out and doing research about music and that kind of thing. Every once in a while, Jimmy and I, my husband and I, will tweak out on something. We'll be driving and be like, oh, great white sharks. And then next thing you know, we're Wikipedia-ing and like going down this dark tunnel of knowledge. But I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Even though I'm sure how I feel about you hijacking to talk. But if we're going to hijack and talk about Leonard, I think that's worth it. So tell us, has there ever been an experience, a disaster or a lesson learned?
Well, the lesson learned, I think, for me, I don't know if I'd call it a disaster, but you talk about leadership. And, you know, I played volleyball in college at Arizona, and we were a club team, but we were a really, really good club team. We won national championships, and we had great, great players on the team. I was arguably the worst player on the team, pretty safe to say. And so I'd always kind of thought of the leaders of the team are the two or three guys that are the best players, and they sort of lead and everyone else follows. But what I learned through that experience playing there is that that's not really true, that everyone on the team can lead. You know, I could go up to the best player on the team and tell him something that maybe he could be doing better, or if there's something the other team is doing that he's not picking up on. So it's really not about your position as a leader. I mean, anyone can display leadership and have that quality.
Sure.
Whatever your role is. So I thought that was a really good thing to take away. Yeah.
It doesn't matter what, and that's important in leadership in general and things that we were talking about, the fact that you don't have to be a manager or leading people in order to be one of the most powerful leaders of a team or of a group.
Exactly.
So do you have one takeaway that you can leave us with today?
Two takeaways. One,
please.
You don't have to be in a leadership role to be a leader. And two, go on YouTube and listen to The Ballad of Curtis Lowe.
Yes. All right. I love that. And I miss you like crazy. We need to spend another day at a Leonard Skinner concert talking about our inner nerds and things. Thank you so much, Jeremy, for being a part of the podcast today. We
My
really
pleasure.
Appreciate it. All right. Bye. Thanks. Let's head out to our shout out.
Hi, I'm Lenis Anroque from the Asian Confederation of Credit Unions. I'm from the Philippines. Mabuhay! And you're listening to Brandy's Strategic Hot Box.
Thank you you so much to Lenny Sanroque. Her shout out from the Philippines. It's so cool to see her and all the impact that she makes on credit unions and on women and leaders all over the globe, but specifically in the Asian Confederation. So thank you to Lenny very much for sending us that shout out. So now it's time, your favorite time, for us to kick some ass. So here are your top five based on all the discussions that we've had today. And thanks again to Jeremy for kind of opening our eyes to this other side and even just hearing his passion that he was talking about energy and that market and the differences that he's hoping to make with his organization. It's just really incredible. So our first kick-ass action item is first to resist the urge to be cool. I talked about it at the beginning. Jeremy reinforced this idea, but really just don't let it go. Be Andrew in the kitchen dancing to Led Zeppelin. Be the person that Wikipedia is the Ballad of Curtis Lowe. Be the person that learns and knows every British monarch. So it just is this idea of just resist the what's getting in your way, the concept of being cool and how it gets in your way. Number two is to make resolutions. I am a huge, lover of them. Like I said, it's the new year. It's now's the time. If you haven't done so, do it now. Make resolutions for the year. Go out a couple years if you want to do it. Write them down. That's important. Even if you don't have them up on some sort of vision board or something, but if you like to do that, that's cool too. Just tuck them in a drawer and then revisit. See where you're at on which ones you have to move around, adjust, but go after it. There's absolutely no reason why we shouldn't be progressing, shouldn't be learning. Once you're done with school, maybe formal education, it's your journey in learning is not over. Now, and access to information is an all-time high. And I almost think that we become handicapped. And we've talked about this in other podcasts, but the invention of the calculator just made us a little less smart in some ways. Obviously, it gave us the tool or the capacity to calculate things that we had never calculated before. But it also made us a little lazier and not being able to do it in our brain. And so I think that's so important. No matter what tools you have, make resolutions, move forward. Number three is create a learning bucket list. I kind of talked about those resolutions in that sense, but know what you want to learn. Like if you want to go back to school for something, and I teach at the College of Southern Nevada, as you know, so there's a lot of people that come back to school because they want to learn a new skill. See if you can even audit a class at your local college or that type of thing, or have a bucket list of finally learning Spanish or finally learning, some other skill or how to do something. You can teach an old dog new tricks, right? It's a little harder, and it's always a little harder when we mess up to keep focused and stay brain. It's not like a little child that just gets right back up, but go after and learn different things and have a bucket list in that way of things that you want to learn and experience. And you may find out after taking a couple lessons that it's not for you, right? And that's okay too. But it's this idea of just having the focus, having those resolutions, having that bucket list. Number four is facing failure. And it's this idea, just the idea of like the little child that fell down after they were walking, get back up and try it again. The brain does not improve. It does not build gray matter unless you do things over and over and over again to solidify those energy and synapse, connections. You want to be able to get up and face it, because otherwise then all your brain has learned is how to screw up. Right? You might as well give it an opportunity to have it know how to screw up three or four times, right? You might as well get better at screwing up. Like if you're going to just be something terrible at something, but just facing it and just be embracing it, owning it. I always think about this in relation to my golf game. My golf game is, it's just not awesome, right? And I wish I could unleash my inner champion, but I just can't. But I've embraced it, and I just go out there and make sure the people that are with me when we're playing the game are tolerant of that level of playing. And I like to be around people that are better than me. I almost always golf with people that are better than me. One, because most people are better than me. So there's that. But also in the fact that you're around that energy because you will improve. You'll learn different tricks. You'll be around people. So it's moving forward as opposed to being the big fish in a little pond. And the final one, number five, is to read. Jeremy talked about it in reading his trade magazines and journals and that type of thing. I talked about it, the fact that we're in this tweet society, we're getting a little lazy when it comes to reading. Reading is essential. Read the books that are out there. Google things that you need to Google. Know what's happening in the world. Know what's happening in politics. Know what's happening in your life. This is your life. This is your chance. Now is the chance to go out there and to be the best that you can be in whatever field or growth growth that you're in. Just like Jeremy said, you don't have to be the manager or the boss in order to do this. You can be just a pretty kick-ass whatever position or leadership role that you're in. There's your top five kick-ass strategies. So thank you again to Jeremy for joining us in the Hot Box today. We'd love to hear from you on topics to tackle. Just email us at podcast@strategichotbox.com or hit us up on Twitter, Instagram @BrandyLove @strategichotbox. Until next time, get out there and kick some ass.